Okay, welcome to the church that gathers here locally at Bethel. My name's Josh, and I get to bring the word. If you're new here, I just want you to know what you've stepped into. So every month that has a fifth Sunday, we call those Family Sundays. And that's a moment where all ages from birth to way past birth gather under the word of God. And we do that for several reasons. One, we call Family Sundays what the Puritans would call mortification of the flesh, right? These Sundays are not as comfortable because we are putting death, the flesh, in us because all of the little ones are with us. Two, we want to say thank you to those of you who serve with our children week in and week out. This is a day that we simply look at you and we say thank you for doing what you do because you are making an eternal difference. Third, if you look around, we believe the word of God, faith, comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. Who's that for? All ages. A young child can hear the word of the God and come to faith. These Sundays are the days where faith grows. And we've been working through the book of Jeremiah, and of all Sundays, we come to Jeremiah 23, and I want to share a sacred word, but a heavy word. So kids, listen up, and this is for adults too, but I need you specifically, listen up. Today's word is woe. Woe. Today's message is a sermon title. It's called Woe Nelly. Woe Nelly. The word woe means warning, judgment is coming. It means stop what you're doing because if you continue on this journey, it's going to end in a place where you do not want to go. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 23. We're going to hear the urgency of the coming judgment of the Lord. But Jeremiah doesn't only want us to hear judgment. He wants you to hear the voice of the good shepherd. That says if you listen to the woe, then you will listen to the grace that is attached to that. Woe! From the left side. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. This is the Lord's declaration in Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the shepherds who tend my people. You have scattered my flock. You have banished them and have not attended them. I am about to attend to you because of your evil acts. This is the Lord's declaration. I will gather the remnant of my flock from the lands where I have banished them and will return them to the grazing land that will become fruitful and numerous. I will raise up shepherds over them who will tend to them. They will no longer be afraid or discouraged, nor will any be missing. This is the Lord's declaration. This is the woe of Jeremiah 23. Let's pray. Father, as we have all today, from birth to old age, to the oldest saint here, gathered under your word, Lord, today, open our hearts that faith might grow, that your word might do work in our lives, that we would leave here set apart for the glory of Christ because we have heard the woe of the Lord and we have said yes to the grace found in Jesus. Lord, may we heed the warnings of your word and may we follow paths of righteousness because you are our good, loving shepherd. Lord, this is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Woe to the shepherd. So in verse 1 of chapter 23, Jeremiah turns his prophetic gaze towards leaders. So shepherds here are leaders, kings of Judah, people who have been entrusted with caring for the people of God. And Jeremiah has some very specific words. He said, you should have cared for them. You should have tended them. You should have loved them. And instead, you've scattered them. You have shattered their will to survive. You have given them poison when you should have cared for them lovingly. What is wrong with you people? Because the root and the sin of Judah began at the top. Some of you have said maybe to your family, if the head stinks, everything stinks. That's what's going here in Jeremiah. And I know some of you are going to say, well, I'm not a leader. This does not apply to me at all. Well, each of us has given stewardship of something. And James reminds us in James 3:1, he says, listen, for you who desire leadership, because leadership is not neutral. For you who desire leadership, not many should be teachers, my brothers, which is why it's difficult for us to find life group leaders. We ask for you to become life group leaders, and then you show me James. You say, hey, pastor, James chapter 3 says not many should be leaders. Because we are held to a higher judgment. Leadership is not neutral. And some of you hear this and you say, well, I'm off the hook because I'm not a leader. Well, are you a parent? You're a leader. Are you a spouse? You're a leader. Do you teach nursery? You're a leader. Do you lead life group? You're a leader. Do you have any type of function at the place you work? Are you a supervisor? You're a leader. Are you a teacher? You're a leader. God has given each of us stewardship over something. And we will be held accountable to love well for the glory of Christ. Woe to the leaders. For you who say, well, I'm not a parent, not a spouse, have no supervisor activity at work. Pastor, actually, you're not talking to me because I'm in fourth grade. No, fourth graders think they know everything. I'm in kindergarten. And all I have to worry about is nothing at all. To you who say, well, I'm not a shepherd, listen to the good shepherd's words in John 10. Jesus would say to you and to me, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. And they know me. And they know my voice. So for the next moments together, I'm not going to talk to the shepherds in the room. I want us to talk to the sheep. And you say, well, I don't like that designation. I don't like sheep. They're not wise animals, and they're kind of furry animals, and they're not smart, and we don't really keep them as pets. I don't like that you call me a sheep. Well, I would say this to you. I didn't call you a sheep. Jesus did. And if you have given your life to Christ by faith, you are his sheep. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better word to be called by Jesus than, Josh, you are mine and I am yours. So the next moments together, I'm going to give some woes to the sheep among us. Because Jeremiah gives us a very practical, real-world example how if we are not wise into the things of God, how we neglect the warnings of Scripture. So turn to Jeremiah 28. We have a real-world example playing out right before us. Now here's what I'm going to do. If you are under sixth grade, I need you to pay attention. If you're an adult, you don't have to pay attention to this. I'm going to read 17 verses. If you are under sixth grade, every time that you hear me say the word Lord, I want you to stand up. Then you have to sit down really quick, but you're going to have to stand up again. Does that make sense? So when I say Lord, not God. God is the Hebrew word Elohim. There can be little gods. Those are idols. God is just a generic name for God. The word Lord is a different word. It's a different sort. The word Lord means there's a covenant relationship. The word Lord means God is who he says he is. He will be who he says he will be. You can only call God Lord if you are his sheep. So make sense? So when you hear me read the word Lord, your job is to what? Stand up and then sit down really quick, because you might have to do it again. Make sense? Okay. Hear the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 28, verses 1 through 17. In the same year, at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur from Gibeon, said to me in the temple of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will restore this place, all the articles of the Lord's temple that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took from here and transported to Babylon. I will restore to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon. This is the Lord's declaration. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Okay, sit down and let's rest. This is what the prophet Hananiah says that God says. The only issue is that God did not say what Hananiah said that God said. Verse 5. The prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing in the temple of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do this thing. May the Lord make the words you have prophesied come true, and may he restore the article of the Lord's temple and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Only listen to the message I am speaking in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, disaster, plague against many lands and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesied peace, only when the word of the prophet comes true will the prophet be recognized as the one the Lord truly sent. Rest. Prophet Hananiah says, this is what the Lord says. The prophet Jeremiah stands up and says, no, this is what the Lord says. Verse 10, the prophet Hananiah then took the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, and he broke it. In the presence of all the people, Hananiah proclaimed, this is what the Lord says. In this way, within 2 years, I will break the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon from the neck of all the nations. The prophet Jeremiah then went on his way. After the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go say to Hananiah, this is truly what the Lord says. You broke a wooden yoke bar, but in its place you will make an iron yoke bar. For this is what the Lord of armies, the Lord Savot, the God of Israel says, I have put an iron of yoke on the neck of all these nations that they might serve King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. They will serve him. I have even put the wild animals under him. The prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord did not send you. In fact, you have led these people to trust in a lie. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Don't give up on me, guys. Don't give up. This is what the Lord says.
I am about to send you off the face of the earth. You will die this year because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. And the prophet Hananiah died that year in the seventh month. What a beautiful family day sermon this is. I think this real life example gives us a woe to the sheep of God's pasture. Because in some way, everyone who has faith are prone, as the hymn says, prone to wander. Lord, I need you. Prone to leave the God I love. So Jeremiah in verse 28 gives us a woe, Nelly, message. Hananiah appears on the scene, and if you've never heard Hananiah's name, that's not surprising because this is the only time in the Bible where you hear of Hananiah. Never hear from him again. He's from Gibeon, or Gibeah, which is about 5 miles from Jeremiah's hometown. Gibeon is also a priestly city, which tells me several things. One, Jeremiah calls him the prophet Hananiah, which means people close by knew who he was. Maybe he was charismatic, he had a good voice, he had really fine clothes. There was something about Hananiah that people listened to. Most likely Jeremiah knew him because he lived near Jeremiah. And the question we have at hand is, who do we listen to? Do we listen to Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord." Or do we listen to Hananiah, who says, "Thus saith the Lord"? And so I ask us today, what's a sheep to do? What do you do when you have competing messages of multiple people saying, "This is God's will for your life"? And Jeremiah pumps the brakes and says, "Here is how we dig in by faith and know what is true." First, let me warn you, here's a woe. Hananiah did not look like a false prophet. There's nothing here in Jeremiah 28 that you say, he's wearing the wrong clothes. He read out of the same translation. You know what? Hananiah was using his phone as his Bible. I knew he was a heretic. He wasn't reading out of the King James, that there are no thuses and thous and saith the Lord's. There's nothing in Hananiah's life that you would say he's ungodly. And here's the danger, church. We have a world where we live in today where you can turn on the radio, or you can turn on your podcast, or you can turn on your TV, or you can go to church, and people can sound good, but they are preaching deception. How do we know the difference? He was a local. Hananiah was religious. He sounded confident. He stood in the temple. He spoke in God's name, and he was dangerously wrong. And this is how deception works. Falsehood rarely introduces itself as falsehood. Wouldn't it be nice if Satan just came in here and said, "Hey, church, I need you to know that I'm Satan. Here's your warning." No, Satan comes in here as what? As an angel of light. And he says, "I look like you. I sound like you. So listen to me." And yet, Jeremiah gives us a woe, Nelly. Here's your first woe. Beware when people quickly use the name of God on their lips. When people come to you and say, "Hey, I have a word from the Lord. Listen to me. I speak for the Lord." Be cautious. This is the danger, right? He speaks with divine certainty, Hananiah does, but without divine authority. There are a lot of people who think they know what God wants, and yet they do not. Woe to the sheep who misspeaks for the name of the Lord. And this is not merely a prophetic problem. Sometimes we as sheep casually use God's name in our lives. We say things like this: well, God told me to do. Did he really? Or we say things like, God would never do this. Or, the Lord must want this thing, when in reality, we might simply be baptizing our preferences, our desires, and our assumptions and emotions into the name of the Lord. Here's your first woe. We must boldly speak where Scripture speaks clearly. And we must remain humble where Scripture is silent. The people had, and this is what Jeremiah says. He goes back, he said, you've had the prophets. We've been preaching judgment. We've been saying to you that your sin has consequences. And this Yahoo, Hananiah, he didn't say Yahoo, by the way, but just my translation. This Yahoo comes on the scene, and he's saying things that you want to hear, and he says he's speaking for God. You know better because you have the word of God. Church, where Scripture is clear, we must speak boldly. But where Scripture is silent, we must walk humbly. Woe to the sheep who misspeak for the name of the Lord. Second woe. Woe to the sheep who only want to please the world. Woe to the sheep who only want to please the world. What was Hananiah's message? Let me ask you an easier question. What was Jeremiah's message? You're in trouble. You're about to die. You're going to go in exile. It's going to be really, really, really bad, and it's too late. You can repent. I hope you repent, but there's still consequences to your sin. What was Hananiah's message? Don't listen to Jeremiah. Peace be upon you. Just smile. You're God's people, after all. You're living in the promised land. You're too blessed to be stressed. Can't you do all things through him who strengthens you? Hananiah is preaching a message that pleases the world. And the New Testament warns us about this, does it not? Paul says, hey, church, there's going to be a day. This is to the church in Galatians. Hey, church, there's going to be a day where people preach to your itching ears. This is not an allergic reaction. Yeah. He's not saying you're going to have to go see the allergy specialist because you're itching all the time. No, he's saying there are going to be people who say things that you want to hear. Beware of those people who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Beware the people that say all roads go to heaven. Beware the people who say you can have Jesus without denying yourself. Beware the people who say you can have faith without repentance. Beware people who say you can have life in Christ, vivification, without saying no to flesh, mortification. Beware of those people. Woe to the sheep who prefer applause over obedience. Beware of the Hananiahs in our life, and not just for Hananiah. I would say be careful when you are seeking the applause of other people. Beware when you are only telling people what they want to hear so they'll be your friends. Can I speak to our children real quick? And adults, you need to listen in too. Okay, kids, again, let's lock in. Let's lock in. L- let's just take a really quick pause. If you're watching online, I'm sorry. I'm cooler than y'all realize. I just need you to know that. Okay, let's go back to the spiritual moment. If you have to say things to people so that they will be your friends and be in relationship with you, they're not your friends. If you have to say things and do things with others so that they will love you, that's not love. If you have to withhold the truth of Christ because you are worried that offending someone will cause them to walk away in your life, if Jesus Christ is the stumbling block, that's a good thing. That is love. That is truth. That is grace, and that is mercy. Beware, woe to you and to I when we are only saying things to people that they want to hear. Woe to us when we only say peace when there is no peace. May that not be said of us. Woe to the sheep who only please the world. But then we have in verse 5, look at this. The prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were afraid in the temple of the Lord. Standing in the temple of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do that thing. Jeremiah responds to Hananiah with surprising restraint here. And here's a woe to us. Woe to the sheep who only listen to what they want to hear. Woe to us when we only listen to what we want to hear. Jeremiah wants peace, but he knows that's not coming because you cannot have the peace of God and the sin of flesh at the same time. Jeremiah knows that the righteousness of God and the sin of man cannot coexist. Woe to the sheep who only listen to what they want to hear. We need the truth of the gospel. Why does this happen? How would we get to this point of our lives? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Some of you say, well, we have the Bible now. We're sophisticated sheep. We're modern sheep. We're smarter than Jeremiah's sheep, right? And how quickly do we fall into deception to the ways of the world? Look at verse 15. The prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord did not send you. But you have led these people to trust in a lie. Woe to the sheep of God who do not know the word. Because we quickly come to this place. If we don't know the word of God, we listen to any voice, won't we? We'll listen to any Hananiah that stands up and looks good and sounds good. And if you say, well, that would never happen to us. Where is Hananiah standing? In the temple, in the place of God's people. We need to be people who love the word of God because discernment does not grow in shallow soil. It doesn't. It grows where scripture dwells deeply. Now, here's the woe, the final woe. Woe to the sheep of God who know social media better than scripture. Woe to the sheep of God who can quote culture, but not Christ. Woe to the sheep of God who consume endless opinions, but not the word of the Lord. Woe to the sheep of God who the name of the Lord is on their lips, but is far from their hearts. Jeremiah 28 ultimately shows us that sheep are weak, impressionable, fearful and even prone to wonder. If we're honest, I read this and I look at my life and I say, God, I'm pretty sheepish sometimes. And that's not a bad thing, because I want to be the Lord's sheep. I want God to be my shepherd. The joy of that is to recognize that I need a shepherd. And anytime I say to God, God, I don't need a shepherd, but I'm okay being a sheep, then I end up in Jeremiah 28. Woe to us when we chase comforting lies in our life. Woe to us when we follow loud voices. Woe to us when we trust what feels right, when we drift towards easy messages. Listen, we can wrap all this up pretty easy. I might just say, well, you need better instincts. Just try harder. But the honest answer is we don't need better instincts. We need a good shepherd. We need the gospel. This is why in John 10, and we're going to end here. In John 10, Jesus says this. 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. What kind of shepherd? Good shepherd. If you came in here today doubting if God is a good shepherd, that doubt should go away. He's good. This is how I know that he's good. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about that. Jesus Christ is such a good shepherd for you. He says, I'll die for you if that's what it takes. And that's not a conditional proposition. It was not... Jesus didn't might need to die for you. He needed to die for you. Because your sin requires payment. My sin. Hey, if you're under 10 years old, can you stand up real quick? If you're 1 through 10, if you can't stand, you can just stay seated. If you're an infant, you stay seated. You can hold up the infant. Okay, if you're standing right now, Jesus died for your sin. Okay, if you're under 10, you can have a seat. If you're a teenager and below, whether you want to admit it or not, if you're a teenager, you stand up. One thing I know about teenagers, y'all are sinful. Jesus died for your sin. You can have a seat. If you are above the teenage years, whether you admit it or not, if your driver's license says older than 18, if you would stand up. One thing I know with greater certainty than the sin of a teenager is the sin of an adult. Jesus is so good, and you can stay standing. He is so good that he died for your sin. And look at what he says here in verse 14. He says, I know my own and they know me. What's the remedy for hearing the voices of the world? It's to know so clearly the voice of Jesus Christ. That when Hananiah stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, that we can look at Hananiah and say, I know the voice of my Jesus. And he doesn't sound like you. Because my shepherd is good, and you are not. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ today, you don't need good advice. You don't need better sheep instincts. You need a good shepherd. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that you might be saved. Because our sin has eternal punishment. Would you by faith come to Christ? It requires that you say no. There is peace, but it's not by you doing nothing. You have to admit that you are a sinner. And you have to admit that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sake. You have to admit that you're a sinner. That's why you're standing, right? And we have to admit that, God, you are so good that you gave your son, Jesus, who died for me. Because the good shepherd does what? He lays down his life. For who? For me. For you. We need the gospel. If you don't know Christ, would you come to him today by faith? Church, if you have given your life to Christ, would you simply, as we sing a song of invitation, just to say, God, I want to hear your voice so clearly in a world of distraction. God, I don't want to hear Hananiah preaching good things, sweet nothings. I want to hear Jesus Christ speak to my heart. I want to say no to sin and say yes to Christ every day until you call me home. And Lord, may I hear your voice so near that I would hear the voices of the world more clear and clear. Woe to the sheep who don't know the voice of God. But praise be to the sheep who have the good shepherd. Because he lays down his life. He knows you, and you know him. Father,